I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
They just make it physical. Barry, Nick, Joel. Here, Truck Fitters, 1960 in Jones Road, a beautiful day. If you need anything for your truck, your vehicle, a grill guard, a Yeti, coolers and or cups and other things, neat gadgets for your vehicle, stop into Truck Fitters. A great bunch of people here that are willing and able to help you with anything and everything you need for your truck or otherwise. It's Barry and Joel here with the fantastic marketing crew and Nick back at the station, talking a lot of NBA Finals, which was only trumped by the huge 3-on-3 victory last night by us.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like I said, it was the second best game that was played yesterday by far.
Yeah.
You want to talk about big three? Look no further than us. Usual suspects suck at Golden State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that.
I know who went
what? Tasha, why you act so surprised, huh?
I mean, hey.
To each his own, huh? That's all you got to say.
We handed out L's. We took the dubs.
That's right.
Yeah, and we didn't need a receding hairline and a big headband to get it done either. How about that?
And when we took a group photo afterwards, just because we had a good time. It was fun.
Yep.
And then Joel puts 3-0 on the
scoreboard,
and we got that in the background. And then these yahoos on Twitter are like, "You guys only scored 3 points? No, bro, that's the number of games." Like, are you serious? Yeah, we spent an hour and a half on the court, and between 6 of us, we can only muster up 3 single-point baskets.
Let me just say this.
3 games to 9.
Based on what Raj was shooting, not shooting, and how that was kind of a crapshoot, it's possible it looked like we only scored 3 baskets throughout the entire
game. Well, the first video had a lot of bricks. I'm not going to lie. At the beginning, it was like just brick.
A lot of bricks?
Brick after brick. I mean, between both of us, between both teams, that is.
No, that can't be true. That can't be true. Our team wasn't shooting bricks.
Except for you, Barry. You were just not going
to. Yeah,
back.
I was going to say. I mean, I wasn't even in hero mode yet.
My bad. How could I forget that you were just nailing them from behind the three-point line the entire
time? No. I was down low. I'm the Draymond Green of the Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I body down low. I do what it takes to win. I don't have to be the superstar.
I saw you trying to kick guys in the nuts.
I don't have to shine. I'm down low.
Did he try to pull a Draymond Green?
From Nick. Do what?
Did you? He said something about kicking somebody. Did you kick somebody?
No.
Oh, he was trying to kick everybody.
No, you know, he's just making a reference.
Oh,
it does,
okay.
I didn't
it
kick
was an
anybody.
Obscure reference
Don't be
I didn't
spreading
understand.
Rumors.
My bad.
Oh, really?
I didn't
really?
Kick anyone. As I played fair.
What
I'm a
were
clean
the final
player.
Scores of all 3 games?
I don't know. I don't remember. I
what
can't
was
count
the tackle,
that high.
The tackle statistics, because I think I lead in being tackled.
Yeah. And Nick, getting tackled?
Yeah, and getting
so,
tackled.
So, Nick, I felt for you when you got hit. But then after he hit me for the 4th time, I really felt for you. Because my lower back, when I was driving home, and I was like, the only thing that I could actually equate that to was every single time Ashton hit me when I was somewhere in the lane or not looking for it. That dude, that's like a wrecking ball.
I ain't going to lie. I was kind of upset when you told me that he did that because I blocked him. I was kind of upset because that hurt. That hurt.
No, I don't think it was that. I think there was a couple times he went to the basket, whether a foul call. I think he thought you fouled him hard a couple times. But it just looked like his demeanor changed a little bit. And then before you knew it, I turned around and saw that. And I was like, oh, my God, someone call an ambulance.
You
think
guys,
I just got run over.
You guys are over here whining from a guy that's joined a Quidditch league.
Man, he was
this
without
dude
a doubt.
Is on a, this dude is on a Quidditch
you
team.
You guard Ashton for freaking 3 games.
I guarded him.
No, you
he
didn't.
Plays Quidditch, Nick. Do you know what that is? That's a Harry Potter made-up sport. It's not even real. He plays a fake fantasy game.
Time out. You're being serious?
And you're...
There is such a thing as Quidditch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the Quidditch
Joel
league.
Missed the whole conversation
had,
yesterday.
We went and had
dinner after the game yesterday, and he was talking about his Quidditch league. And I was like... Nick should have scored 1,000 points on this dude. He flies around on a pretend broom acting like Harry Potter. What the hell is Quidditch?
Is that? I thought that's like the Professional Cribbage League or something like that.
No, it's a made-up game from Harry Potter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of this dude plays Dungeons & Dragons. He's in a Dungeons & Dragons League or something like that. Like, he LARPs.
I don't know if we should reveal this. Yeah, LARP. He makes me look like a complete wuss.
Live action role playing. He's like he dresses up like a wizard and he's running around casting spells on people.
But Nick,
and this is the guy that bodied you up?
This is the guy, Nick, that on Twitter.
At least Joe George played rugby before.
Whatever.
I guarded the dude that played rugby. You guarded a nerd that plays a fake game on a broom.
You should have guarded him for three games. You would have got tackled.
Whatever. Tackled. Whatever. I'm just saying. You're crying about guarding a dude.
By the way,
he
doesn't understand the concept of boxing out. He understands the concept of elbowing out. The whole time,
but he
I
does
got
under.
His
but you are impressed with his internet workouts, right?
I was. Hey.
Yeah.
But weren't you didn't he like exceed expectations?
I mean, look.
No, not really.
He definitely has stamina. The Quidditch is definitely paying off in the stamina.
I was giving credit to Ashton all week, and then he tackles my ass because I blocked.
Yeah, that was way to respond with some love for Nick. Boom, just like that. Left tire marks on your forehead or your shoulder. Because you're going to feel that tomorrow. Honestly. I think the funniest part, though, was when we were talking to Raj after the game about the videos, and Nick's like, all I know is that I got knocked down like that's going to be eliminated. We don't need to have that because that was embarrassing. I was like, dude, embarrassing. You had your head turned. It was like you got blindsided. You didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, embarrassing. I got the ball stuck in the rim. What are you talking about? Embarrassing.
That was kind of funny, but I still think.
On a layup, yeah. A wide open layup.
But you could
no
tell.
No one even, like, blocked it.
But
there was no one near me.
Skinny dude trying to take it to the basket, and you could, like, anticipate. All right, skinny dude about to hit Ashton. Skinny dude about to get knocked out. Like, you can anticipate it happening before it happened.
I just can't believe when I found out that dude plays a made-up LARPing game, I was just like, what?
I really thought you made that up, like he quit on the game, and that's what you were referring to, but that's actually
it's a Harry Potter game.
I didn't know what the hell that was.
No, I believe you, but yeah, I wouldn't have known either.
Oh, God, if we would have lost to a dude that plays Quidditch, I would have never shown my face again. I would have never, ever.
Hey, Nick, you know, the next time we play, though, you can come prepared. They do have, like, for little kids and beyond, I'm sure, they have those helmets, but it just has the top cut out of it so that at least you don't suffer any, like,
long-term
injury.
Yeah, if I'm guarding Ashton, I want one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And a mouthpiece.
I want that, too.
Yep.
Robert and Tomball said, did y'all defeat the bigger three? Guess the big three.
Got it, yeah.
I like that. I like that, Robert. Good job, man.
Yeah, Matt started out from the get-go. He proved he could shoot a little bit, too, but they, in just fantastic network form, showed that if there was something that could possibly work, let's go away from it. Let's completely not try and do that again. Because Joe George was pulling everything. So you guys were having dinner last night, but when did you get the news on Keuchel and your thoughts? Because were they ruling it an illness?
Yeah, well, we were watching because we were at Buffalo Wild Wings. So we had to put the game on. They showed him leaving. The crazy thing is it was 10 minutes before first pitch when they pulled him. How did they not know sooner? Is this a case of him, I'm going to tough it out and take one for the team? You kind of end up hurting the team when you do that.
Yeah, so, and then my question was, when did they, because did they already have, who started last night in his place?
Diaz?
Yeah,
Diaz.
Was he already on the roster? Or did they
they had sent down Gudon, or however the hell you say his name, Gudon for Diaz.
Gudon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he went down. I don't know if it was after the game, but I did see a byline or a ticker scroll across on MLB Network about that. So he got sent down because he wasn't doing that well.
Because I'm with you. I was like, when did they know or at least have the inkling enough to prepare? Because this guy's got you got to go through a regimen.
It was 10 minutes.
I'm saying for the guy taking his place, he's got to be, you know, prepared
10 minutes. Like, literally, he just walked out and had to warm up and go pitch.
It looked like it.
Well, and I don't understand. You said something earlier about people are dogging A.J. Hinch. For what?
I heard a lot of callers just because they have nothing else to do, they lash out. Like, you know,
this is the start of something bad, and he, you know, he didn't use the bullpen right, or he didn't. Come on, man. I mean,
dude, get
Granato and those guys were actually making fun of it the other day because people just don't have it. They have too much time on their hands. Cause,
so they're not the other day, not specifically about last night.
No, you're right.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was just making sure. I didn't know if it was last night that they were saying anything about it.
Although last night on Twitter, people again were like, thought the freaking sky was falling because Keuchel didn't pitch and because they were, you know, they were gonna, looks like they were going to lose again. But still, they hung right in there even last night. They still put runs on the board. You know that you didn't have your ace on the hill, which you expected. So things happen.
Before they went on the 11-game run, they lost three in a row
to
Cleveland.
Yeah.
The previous series. So, I mean, you're going to lose games. This is baseball. They're going to lose, 30% of their games easily. So, it's going to happen. The good thing is that it's McCullers and Hamill tonight. Hamill is garbage. He's what? 2-6. He's got 2 wins in his 10 games with an ERA just south of 6. This is a get right game. And then this will be another series when they win tonight, another series that they haven't lost. They'll split the series with the Royals and that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fine. Well, they're on the road, too. That's the crazy
thing.
They're
the
on the road.
The Kool-Aid starts getting passed around, and people start looking at all these stats that everybody's throwing out, especially on TV, and they're seeing that Mariners team of, what was it, 2001?
Yeah.
In that area, but, with that the modern era's best regular season stats from a team perspective coming from that Seattle team, and they're seeing how comparable it is that the Astros – stats are right there with them, and they're thinking, they're looking at the loss column going, oh no, we can't afford another loss. It doesn't matter if you catch or come close to the Seattle Mariners records. The only thing that matters is you win your division, you get into the playoffs, you have home field advantage, and you're as healthy as you can be going into the postseason. And that's, you're in the best position to do that of any team in baseball right now because you have the best record. So just take a deep breath and sit back and relax a little bit, and it'll all work out hopefully as we continue to. We're only in June. Season goes till September. Yeah. I'm trying to do my Barry there. Yeah. These people need to relax. All right, so if you want to join the conversation, talk Astros, talk basketball, talk whatever, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, so we're about to keep the ball moving. Before we do that, Steve Kerr last night had some pretty interesting comments post-game, Barry.
Yeah. He was talking about the Game 3, and we were talking about is LeBron tired, and he talked about the whole team being tired.
Kyrie and LeBron had it going the whole game, but that's pretty taxing to go one-on-one the whole game, and both those guys were amazing, 38 and 39, but that takes a lot out of you, and we just kept telling the guys they're going to get tired. Stay in front of them, force them into outside shots if you can. Fatigue will play a role, and I think when you get, guys playing 45, 44 minutes, basically attacking one-on-one the whole game, it's, you hope eventually it's going to take its toll. I wasn't sure if after a while they just were going nuts, but I think we just stayed with it and our defense finally kicked in.
Your take?
It's pretty prophetic. I mean, when you look at him talking about they're going to get tired, knowing that it's basically those two guys versus the Warriors, he knew that. And I mean, that's, it says something about, do you get the same thing from the Warriors coach if he's not there? You know what I mean? Is that a mindset that they all have, or is that something that Steve Kerr is picking up on and telling his guys? Is it an assistant coach? Is it Mike Brown? Is it somebody else? You know what I mean? But I just think it was smart of him to recognize that because it's the truth. I mean, it's either going to be LeBron or Kyrie or nothing.
Well, it's also, and I don't want to say it's a slap in the face to Teron Lue and his staff, But again, it goes back to what I said about don't fall into the trap, which they want you to fall into, which is try and play our style and our way for 48 minutes. But the other thing is the NBA, especially in playoff series, are all about adjustments and being able to adjust on the fly and being able to also look out for your guys, because you know that the guys that are going to carry you are those two guys. And the fact that you looked at their minutes and you knew, I mean, if you're the coaching staff of the Warriors and you enter the fourth quarter and realize that I think LeBron had 30 seconds or, you know, a minute and a half of actual court time on the bench, and that both of them were, you know, getting to the point where they were approaching 40 minutes and you were going into a tight game in the fourth quarter where you actually had the lead, you're now in no man's land. Because if you sit them, you know that that lead is probably going to dissipate in no time at all. But if you keep putting the pedal down, at some point they're going to run out of gas.
Yeah, LeBron had 45 minutes. Kyrie played 44. Kevin Love played 37. And, I mean, when you look at the Warriors, Durant and Thompson both played 40. Steph Curry played 39. So, I mean, a bit of a difference. That 4 or 5 minutes rest sure in is. A game can make a huge difference for a player.
And I thought one of the turning points was when Curry and Durant went down for what we can say for them is an extended period of time, I think late first, early second, and yet there was no big gap created by the Cavs. There was no big differential where they took advantage of those guys sitting down. And when they came to check back in, I said out loud, at least, I said, they're in trouble. Because of the fact that they should have been able to try and build an 8-10-point lead with those two guys sitting down just so that they could do some things to rest some of their guys, and instead they were still in the middle of a dogfight and they couldn't afford to sit those two guys down.
Yeah. Did you see the tweet afterwards from J.R. Smith?
Yeah, that he then deleted.
Yeah, that he denied.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I didn't do that. I'm smarter than that. If you don't know, there was a tweet that came from him that just basically said, Cavs in 7. And then later that was gone from his account. And then he said, I didn't send that. I'm smarter than that.
At least he didn't come right out and say, first of all, J.R. Smith and I'm smarter than that is not normally used in the same sentence. And also, when you get into it, at least he didn't use the dreaded, I was hacked.
He said, I got out of the shower and my phone was buzzing. I did not tweet that. I'm smarter than that. I didn't tweet that. I would be much smarter than that to tweet that at literally 12:04 right after the game.
He might have been misquoted. I don't know. He might have misquoted after that whole how they said the Cavs locker room smelled like weed. I got out of the shower.
Misquoted?
Yeah. Instead of that, I think what he meant to say was, I got out of the shower and I was buzzing and just decided to put that up there. Because, come on, man. I mean, has there been anything that has given you any indication or inkling to say this is going 5, let alone 7?
No. I mean, this is going 4. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant, your MVP, this series is over, next game, that's it. It's time to move on to baseball and football pretty soon. I don't think this is it. It's a wrap. They're not coming back from this.
Well, and I had told.
And then there's always the people that'll be like, "Well, they came back last year from 3-1." Yeah, and the Warriors didn't have Durant, and they weren't up 3-0. That's a difference. They won Game 3. That's a pivotal game in a series like this when the home team holds home court and they win the first two games. You have to come back and you have to win the first game at home. In order to keep this series competitive, because then you're forcing extra games. You're forcing an extra game at home by doing that. They didn't do that.
No, and like you said, look, last year Kevin Durant was wearing orange, blue, and white. So there, you know, he wasn't even a part of this series. And you knew for everything that happened last year, the fact that he was that missing link that was added to the mix just meant that the Cavs had that much more work to do, that much more preparation to worry about, and it's just not there. I mean, they just don't – I said – to you, just like you said, you know, it's not really over or looking like it's over until someone fails to hold serve. Well, that happened. And at the same time, I kept saying, in order for Cleveland to be competitive in this series, they need to be clicking on all cylinders, getting contributions from all those guys. They're not getting. When Kevin Love is hot, Kyrie Irving's giving you 19. When Kyrie Irving's giving you 38 or 39, you're getting nothing out of guys like Tristan Thompson and Kyle Korver and guys that you need to be vital parts of a well-oiled machine. They're just not there.
Yeah, and Golden State just has too many weapons. I mean, their bench is outscoring the Cavs' bench. Is there any doubt, by the way, that Kevin Durant is the Finals MVP? Any doubt?
No. The only thing that you could say that was brought to my attention last night just by pure numbers of all the which needs to be notated for people that are bagging on him, the only guy that could come close to winning the MVP from Kevin Durant is LeBron James. If you look at LeBron James,
well, that ain't happening.
Right. It's just unprecedented to think that you'd give it to someone on the losing team.
No.
But LeBron James's numbers are out of this world. But he just can't do it all by himself.
Again, it's one of those things. It's the difference between most valuable and best. Mm-hmm. He might be the best player in the finals, but he's not the most valuable because his team can't win. So
now do you give credence to Paul Pierce saying that Kevin Durant might be the best player in the world?
Nope.
I don't either.
No. I think he's top five. He's one of the best.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the best, but there's no way that he's better than LeBron James. I mean, LeBron James is the best basketball player on the planet, period.
Yeah, and because he plays both ends of the floor, because he can play big, he can play small, he can jump. I will say this, offensively, tough to find someone with the arsenal of Kevin Durant. I mean, he can score at with his size from anywhere on the court, but that doesn't make him the best player in the world.
A lot of my friends, and I should preface this by saying black friends, a lot of my black friends are the one knock they have on Kevin Durant is that he won't comb his hair.
If that's the biggest knock you got, you're all right.
One of my friends, Kenise, was like, "Look, I'm really no. It was Michael. Michael Dede said, "I'm really happy for Kevin Durant, but the one thing he can't do is comb his hair with the grain." That is so funny to me. Oh, my God. That's the worst. That's the big knock on Kevin Durant.
Well, he can work on that in the offseason.
Is that he
right?
Won't comb his hair with the grain. That is so funny.
All right. We got a call, Nick. You say Josh.
Josh wants to talk about the Cavs.
All right, Josh, what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I think that this last night just made me so disgusted and think that why am I even going to watch a single regular season game for the next couple of weeks? Unless the Cavs go get Paul George or another superstar and lose no one, because that's what you have to do. You have to have four superstars to go and beat this Warriors team. And, I mean, the Rockets, James Harden's got to be like a number three option. He can't even be. We have to go find people that are two people that are better than him, or we don't even have. Do you even think that we have a shot? I mean, I think that this
well,
is.
Well, the good news is James Harden was a number three option in that last game.
Josh, well, here's the thing, though. Like they have three stars, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James. The difference is the supporting cast isn't giving them anything. If Kyle Korver just makes, you know, if he could just knock down 10, 12 points a game, they lost game one by 5 points. Getting just that much support from somebody like Kyle Korver can make all the difference in the world. I mean, they lost this game, you know, last night last night was a 5-point game. Game one was
a blowout.
But I had them in reverse order. That's the thing. If you just get a little bit of help from your bench, if those guys just score, if you get a couple of guys on the bench to score double figures, this is a whole different series.
But this is also
they're not doing that.
Your general manager is so important, because as we were talking about, Drew and I were talking about it just in the break, it's not only the art of being able to lure in those three to four superstars, it's to trying to get that supporting cast to be able to balance it. We were talking about San Antonio trying to get into that mix of superpower teams. Well, if they get Chris Paul, they got to renounce Pau Gasol. So that hurts your supporting cast and one of your big men right off the top. It's hard to get that balance. That's why these general managers are earning their money that are being able to do this, because it's a challenge to get the big-name player but keep the supporting cast that puts you over the top. So if you guys want to continue to talk NBA Finals, you guys stay on the line if you've been calling. We're going to take your calls as well. But if you want to get in on the conversation, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter where we're all good about checking it throughout the show. We are the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Joel, it's Barry, it's Nick. We, much to our chagrin and unbeknownst to us, have been Facebook Living the entire show. Thanks, Princess Tosh. So there are people that still want to talk about the NBA Finals and such. Nick has been holding patiently. We appreciate you, sir. You want to talk a little Tristan Thompson. What's up?
Yes. Hey, how are you, gentlemen?
Good.
I'm doing well. I'll set this up real quick, and then I'll let y'all kind of expand on it. Now, I read an article about how the Warriors are going to possibly re-sign Durant to a 2-year deal instead of a 5-year deal because of some loophole in the CBA to where he can, the Warriors can then therefore distribute some of that money to the supporting cast to keep them all intact. On the other end of the spectrum, we have the Cavs, who are, you know, I think they're still in the luxury tax. They don't have a draft pick, first or second round, until 2020, I believe. So my question is, how do the Cavs catch up? And is trading Tristan Thompson and getting out of that $80 million contract, is that a possibility? And are there any suitors in the NBA who would even take that without a draft pick involved in that trade? Like, I guess my overall question is, how can the Cavs catch up to the Warriors? So, you guys have a good day.
I appreciate the call, Nick.
You want me to go?
Go ahead.
I mean, the first things first. Look, Tristan Thompson is LeBron's boy. Both represented by the same agent. LeBron, if you remember, held the Cavs hostage the last time and said, if you don't take care of Tristan and get him the money that he deserves, then I'm not going to re-sign. So you factored that in. The other thing is, don't discount the fact that Tristan Thompson was the best offensive rebounder in this league this last year. So there will be teams that definitely would be interested in him, regardless of a draft pick or not. It's not what Cleveland has to add to sweeten the pot. Plenty of teams would be interested in him. But it depends on what you would get in return. And could you get a superstar-type player in return to complement the guys you already have on the Cleveland roster? And also try and make up for the fact that you're losing all those offensive rebounds and the way he played during the regular season. So easier said than done, but to hopefully kind of address the things you brought up, I just don't think it's feasible to think that they're going to go out and make a trade and be able to offer up enough to get a superstar in return, because no one's going to offer up back a superstar for Tristan Thompson.
No, and he's got, what, 3 years left on his deal.
Yep.
It's not a salary dump where you get to get rid of that contract at the end of the year. He still has 3 years left. So no one's clamoring to get Tristan Thompson just for that, you know, express purpose of helping the Cavs out.
Let me throw this out to you. Would you be open to trading? Because I think the only way they can make that move or make a move that would make them better is trading Kevin Love. You would trade Kevin Love.
I think there are teams that would want Kevin Love. Yeah.
And again, he has enough. He brings enough to the table that would entice teams. It's just, can you get something back that makes you better?
Yeah, and if you're giving up Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson,
no, I don't think you're giving up both. I thought that's what you were saying. No, I'm saying, would you give up Kevin Love
instead of Tristan Thompson?
Okay. And could you get back a Jimmy Butler or, you know, a guy, Paul George?
I tell you what. You think the Knicks and Carmelo?
But are they better with this three, or are they better with Carmelo, LeBron, and Kyrie?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're not winning, you know, LeBron and Carmelo, they want to play together.
They're tight, yeah.
And the Knicks want to get rid of Carmelo.
Yeah, Phil does for sure, yeah.
So, and I don't think Carmelo wants to play there. So, yeah, I mean, I could see something like that happening before Tristan Thompson gets moved. And the other thing is I hadn't heard anything about that in regards to Durant, but I did find something on Bleacher Report that talked a little bit about the fact that he might be willing to take less than the 10-year vet max, which is just north of $35
million. Right.
The Warriors could offer him a little bit less than $32 million a year, but then they wouldn't have to renounce the rights to Iguodala and Livingston if they did that. What's the difference to Kevin Durant at $3 million a year? Now, 10 years, $30 million, that is a significant chunk of change, but as they start to, you know, because this team will get old, this team isn't going to win it every year for the next 10 years, he can always renegotiate and make that money back up.
That's no David West money that he's throwing away.
Yeah.
Well, look, he's got the shoe deal, too. So he's, again.
But still, you leave $30 million on the table over 10 years.
But he's already on record in one of the other articles saying it was his idea. It's his idea to take less because he appreciates the Andre Iguodalas and the Sean Livingstons and the guys that help make them, just like we were talking about, the supporting cast. He's willing to take less. LeBron keeps trying to have his deal expire when the cap goes up, trying to maximize more and more. At some point, if LeBron wants to make more of a contribution to help the Cavaliers get better, he's going to have to take less. The one guy that's not going to, I don't blame him if he doesn't take less, is Curry, because Curry had to take less on this last deal because there were concerns about his health and his ankles, to where I know it doesn't sound like he's taking less, but he was making $11 million a year this last year, whereas everybody else was upwards of $18, $20, $30 million. He's going to get paid. But I think that's part of what Durant is thinking, too. I've gotten mine, and this winning thing feels pretty good, and it's going to take more than just the big three or four to do this. I'll take that last 30 to make sure my guys are around me, and I know in endorsements and everything else, I can make up a portion of that. Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, I'm just saying. The other thing that I don't know if you caught, I certainly didn't, but I'm glad Nick did or somebody did. But I know that because we were playing hoops and everything, and then I was going back and forth, Astros and the finals, I missed this round two of Shaq Charles back and forth.
Yeah.
But I hear it's pretty good. Nick, we got that audio, right?
Not about 20 seconds in because I was distracted by the ring.
This is called bling bling. Diamonds.
That's this is the size called, of my man. Head, this ring.
It got about as much wow. Brain power as your head, wow. Too.
No, that was unnecessary. Oh, that was just
Matt. Matt, stick up for yourself. Don't ever talk to
you. Why'd
like
you have
that?
To go there?
Because, you know, I love giving you a hard time.
I know you do.
I mean, listen, I'm so glad to be back, man. I've been sitting at home bored watching
You're watching hockey.
Man, I got 2 eyes. I can watch hockey and basketball
from
at the
Nashville?
Same time. They didn't play that night.
And Chuck, whatever you were drinking at the game, stay out. Because you was bobbing and weaving, Chuck. You was bobbing and weaving. Boy, that Patron must have got to you, Chuck. All right.
Look, hey, listen, it was actually vodka, Chuck.
I love that he corrects me. He's like, look. He didn't say I wasn't drinking. I wasn't drunk. And he's like, it wasn't Patron. It was vodka. That's what had me bobbing and weaving.
If there's one guy that's got a lifetime get out of jail free card, it's Charles Barkley. I mean, this is a guy that was going to be running for the governor of Alabama, and they were talking about his indiscretions here and his gambling there and everything like that, and they just go, okay, it's just Charles. Charles being Charles. I mean, Charles can admit when he drinks. Charles can throw guys through windows. Charles can do whatever he wants to do, and he's still going to be spotless. But there's still a little bit of a – and I thought Shaq would go right for the jugular with Charles, I wish you had one of these. But at the same time, don't kid yourself. Charles is going nuts. Because as much as he complains about how busy his schedule is, when he's just sitting around, all he's got is a cold fridge, a warm stove, and a full bar. And that's not good.
No?
No.
It's in the article that I saw about this, they were talking about how they were joking about it afterwards, saying, oh, no, we're just messing with each other. It's just love. You know, we always give each other a hard time. But I'm with you. I thought right away he was going to say something to Barkley about not having a ring, and he didn't. So I guess they learned their lesson from when it got really heated for real the other day. Because that's just just dudes hanging out, busting each other's chops. That's not a big deal.
Right.
But, yeah, I thought for sure he could have been a lot harsher than that. And, you know, Charles handled it well, so he's making fun of that other dude.
Matt Weiner. Don't call him Matt Weiner. It's Matt Weiner.
It's not
I will
Weiner.
Say, though, no. I feel like Barkley has always been like the bigger dude in those exchanges.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because he always lets all the personal stuff that Shaq throws at him, he just passes right through it.
Yeah, he does.
He brings humor into it. He tries to lighten it up, whereas you can tell because Shaq's not cracking any jokes unless it's really ripping his heart out.
Because I know that if Barkley said some of the things that Shaq said to him, I don't know if Shaq would react the same way.
You want to fight?
He'd be mad, huh?
I think he would.
Beat your ass,
true. I think he would genuinely be mad.
That was a better one right there.
He would. He would get mad.
Because, you know, what was the one comment? You're a bum, Chuck, and most people think you don't belong in the Hall of Fame. I mean, come on now. Look at the numbers. He didn't win a ring. That doesn't mean he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's one of the best power forwards to ever play the game, and I'm not sure you're going to find anyone to argue that, let alone everyone thinks he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. That's where you could tell it was personal. That's where you could tell he was really coming at him. So I do miss that, by the way. The bad thing about just all the finals being on ABC is we don't get the TNT studio show.
It has its moments. I there's some times where I'm just like, all right, guys, it's the same old, but it has its moments where they have fun. Like the gone fishing thing I could probably do without now.
Right.
But I like some of the, you know, when they're messing with each other, that's fun. I like Kenny's breakdowns, but sometimes it's kind of my big problem is that sometimes they all talk at once for several minutes at a time, and that's a tough watch.
I take Ernie over Michelle Beadle.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
And I'll take, you know, Paul Pierce and Chauncey and Jalen. I'll take Kenny, Shaq, and Charles all day, every day.
But the problem is, I think when it comes to Kenny, Shaq, and Charles as well, only Kenny seems to be the most objective. Shaq and Charles always seems to have an agenda. Their opinions are based on something personal. Whether it's about JaVale McGee or the Rockets or anybody else or Dwight Howard, it doesn't matter. They always seem to have some sort of agenda, and I feel like Kenny at least kind of keeps it, you know, he keeps his personal opinions out of it.
I can see that in the regular season. I think in the playoffs, Charles is pretty objective. I think Shaq still likes to, you know, not just saying what he goes at with Charles, but he definitely goes at JaVale McGee and others. And I thought the classic was JaVale McGee showing up for game one of the finals with a Shaq hat on.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree. I think it's throughout the whole year that they do it because, again, if you listen to them, they're still, you know, again, JaVale McGee and all. I don't know. I just think there's too much of an agenda with those guys a lot of times in that studio, and that's part of the problem that I have with them. But,
you know. All right, so if you want to chime in on that, please let us know. Or if you want to chime in on something else, give us a shout. 713-780-ESPN, where you can text or call, or hit us up on Twitter. We are the Usual Suspects, and, of course, this is ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Usual Suspects continue to roll on. We are at Truck Fitters, where we have more power for your tow and go. Right here at FM 1960 in Jones Road. If you want to see Barry, our marketing staff, little Dwight Howard, Drew is here.
I love this text. I say this in the most respectful way, so you know it's going to be some a-hole text.
Yeah.
Y'all are some unathletic dudes. How can y'all talk about sports if you play like that? What?
Wait.
Like, I would love to see. Text me a picture of you. Please text me a picture of you. Number one. Number two, what does watching sports and having an opinion have to do with my inability to make a layup?
Everybody thinks Jeff Van Gundy is an Olympic athlete.
Like, what does watching a game and having an intelligent and informed opinion have to do with the fact that I can't make a jump shot without my glasses? I have no idea how the two are related. But okay, if all of your sports talk radio hosts have to be athletes and former athletes, I don't know what to tell you, man.
You know what it reminds
me of,
Barry?
Those are going to be few and far between.
You know what it reminds me of? You know how, like, you know, in the MMA world, they'd always argue that if you wanted to be a judge in MMA, you would actually have to be a fighter.
Have to fight. Yeah.
That's garbage.
Yeah, that is dumb. Like, you can't watch two dudes punch each other and not figure out who's winning.
Yeah.
Just because you've never been in a fight? Come on,
ridiculous.
Man. Ridiculous. Silliness.
Yeah, send the pictures without the overalls on, too, so that we can figure out how athletic you are.
Yeah.
I got one for you, by the way.
Okay.
So, because we're on the remote, I found out from Raheel that they had kolaches, but they had already blown through them. And,
sure.
And so we weren't going to have our normal stash when we got out here. So I was like, well, I got to find a Subway. So I find the Subway, and I'm looking over. I've got, you know, Barry's trained me well now. So I'm making sure everything looks fresh and, you know, and all that other stuff. And I get my sandwich. And thankfully, it was after I ate my sandwich. I decided to use the restroom.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those singles where you have your own restroom. You can just, right. I opened the door. It's probably a 3.5 to 4 inch roach.
What?
On the floor.
Oh, hell no.
Now, the good news is it's on its back and it looks dead.
Oh, hell no.
The bad news is it's in the Subway. At some point, I know if that's in the bathroom, I'm thinking, what's in the kitchen?
It's mom and dad, which are like probably 9 inches.
And probably gnawing on, like, some turkey.
They're probably in the back cooking.
They might have
got on an apron.
Yeah, they might have eaten up, like y'all? The manager.
Like, that's new. That's nasty. I would Did you say something to him?
No.
Man, you should have.
You think I should have said something?
Yeah, you should have. You should have walked out there very loudly with everyone else in the restaurant and be like, "Hey, there's a big ass roach in the bathroom." Yeah, you should have. You should have put him on blast.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely should have. Bad news, Astro fan.
Yeah.
Me included. The Astros just tweeted out 12 minutes ago that Dallas Keuchel has been put on the 10-day DL with neck discomfort. Francis Martis has been called up, selected to the ML roster. Colin McHugh has been transferred to the 60-day DL. The most worrisome thing about that is the fact that is this neck thing going to be an issue all year for Dallas Keuchel? That's the scary thing. Remember last year he had health issues, which is part of the reason why he wasn't as effective as he was 2 years ago when he won the Cy Young. You hate to see if that starts to be the trend again this year.
Yeah, that's the thing that concerns me. If it was like he had the flu, like they were saying, an illness last night, then I'm okay because it's not arm-related, it's not structural, anything to do with pitching, it's just getting healthy. But now that he's on the DL and it's the second time with the exact same injury, I start being a little bit more concerned and the radar is on high. Like, what's going on here and is this going to be all season long? Because he is your ace, regardless of who you're trying to
add. Well, you've got two of them, luckily.
Yeah, but at the same time, both of them have helped get you to where you are. I don't, and you saw what happened without him last night. It concerns me.
Well, part of last night was the fact that it was such short notice. I mean, you basically were long relievers from the get-go, which is never a good recipe for a win.
Right.
But that does explain, earlier in the show, we talked about, you know, why would he wait until 10 minutes to go?
Yep.
Before game time to say, you know what, I don't feel good. That explains everything. He's out there trying to pitch, and probably the more he warmed up, the more the discomfort in his neck started to hurt him. I'm speculating and guessing here, but that would explain a lot more than just, you know what, I don't feel good. I thought I could pitch. I don't. I'm going to not pitch now. The neck issue worries me. If it's a pinched nerve, you got to have rehab. You got to, you know, they talked about that being a pinched nerve before.
Yep.
Let's just hope that this. Oh, and again, now he's going to miss his start. Let's see. So it doesn't say whether it's going to be retroactive,
but he is going to miss his next start.
Yeah. So that's going to be their next start is against the Rangers at home here.
Yep.
So he's going to miss that. So they're going to call up Francis Martis. Now we get to see what all the hype was about. He was doing all right down in the minors. He started. He had a rocky start, but we're going to get to see what all this, you know, the hype is, and is the trade bait worth it? And they really don't have a choice.
Well, Musgrove's coming back, scheduled now to be Sunday starter.
Okay.
Okay. But where are we with Charlie Morton?
Yeah, that's another good question. How's his health?
Yeah, because that becomes a lot more important with the uncertainty around Dallas Keuchel.
Let me see if they have. They'll usually tell you on ESPN. Yeah, disabled list. So Morton is on the 15-day disabled list, which is wrong, ESPN. There's not a 15-day. It's a 10-day. But I don't see where he went on. I'll have to look that up. Maybe I'll have that by next segment when he was put on the DL and when he's scheduled to come off. So, yeah, but that'll help. Getting Charlie Morton back will certainly help a little bit. You know, Musgrove is Musgrove. He's a five. I don't expect a whole lot from him. But you hope that Martis can come up and give you some quality innings and pitch to his expectations. He probably won't because he's such a young guy. But you hope he can pitch to expectations a little bit, keep you in the game at least. So,
well,
we shall see.
That's the biggest thing, too, is because it's okay if you just need to find one spot starter because you've got just one guy that you need to get back. But when you talk about Morton being out and Musgrove being out, now Keuchel out again, now you're talking about 3/5 of your rotation.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about more than just a patchwork start here and there. Now you're talking about a patchwork rotation. That's where you start getting to losing streaks.
Actually, if you think about it, with Keuchel out, it's four of their five guys in their rotation because it's McHugh as well. So it's McHugh was going to be your three. You figured Morton was your four and Musgrove was your five. So all three of those guys have been injured. Plus now you've got your ace. And literally, Lance, the one guy you thought was going to be the guy that's gotten hurt hasn't gotten hurt yet, and that's Lance McCullers.
Yeah. And
so you could still have him get hurt because that's his track record. And now what? All five of your starters with significant time on the DL?
Yeah.
That's plus, not good.
Plus, when you're using these spot starters, and Hinch has shown that he's only trusting them for barely five innings, Now it becomes even more taxing on your bullpen on a night-in, night-out basis because you don't have a horse to eat up innings like you do with McCullers and Keuchel. So that whole pitching staff is going to be overworked if they don't start trying to figure some things out and get healthy.
El Jefe said, why do y'all keep saying you were 3-0 yesterday? Y'all clearly forgot the L you handed the Blitz as well.
Well, that'll be deserving like that, of another rant.
I like that, El Jefe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of 4-0 yesterday.
AJ just walked in wanting to know what you guys were saying about him.
None.
Well, it'd be helpful if he listened.
Didn't say a word.
Barry was talking all the noise.
Jeez.
All right, Nick.
All right.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared. I was talking all the noise.
I'm just kidding.
So two in the books, one to go, plenty more show. We are here at Truck Fitters, FM 1960 Jones Road area. Stop in, see us. Stop in, see all the great things in this showroom for your truck, for your vehicle. They got Yeti coolers and drink holders, as well as all the different things you need to spice up your truck and make it look badass, from grill guards to everything in between and all around. Stop in and see us. Stop in and see these guys. They'll take care of you. We'll be back with much more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.